Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence. Argos, come on. Oh, I was like, what's happening? All right, we're back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
I would like to point out that I came prepared tonight with my animals.
It's unheard of.
Well in advance.
Unheard of.
But I did still show up late.
She did, but not that late.
Do you want to know why?
Oh, yeah, you were waiting to tell me.
I know.
I forgot.
So I drove
the wrong direction
most of the way here. I was almost here when I realized I forgot my phone at home. Now, wouldn't be a big deal, except some guy I have a crush on had texted me.
So it was a huge deal.
And I hadn't yet responded, so I couldn't wait. I had to go back.
Argos are putting our heads down in shame.
Yep. That's why I was late tonight.
Can you not text through your computer?
I only set up iMessage on my phone because I don't need my messages coming in more places.
Oh, I don't act like I set it up on my computer. I don't know how to stop it. When someone calls my phone or like tries to FaceTime me, four devices go off.
My phone, your watch,
my laptop, my Mac. And if my iPad is around, my iPad will go off. And I'm like, you're too old for this. My iPad is ancient. I was like, I didn't even know you had this capability.
I know.
But it's, and they all ring and not in the same, like at the same speed. So it's very disorienting. I hate it. Anyway, that's hilarious.
So I'm here. I made it.
You would have been like right on time. Well, because you're only like 15 minutes late.
Right. I think I would have been here 9 minutes late if I still would have been late, which is normal for me.
Yeah. Which you could have been later.
Because you didn't finish your research.
I didn't. I thought I had finished way more than I did. And I looked at it, I was like, oh. I think the issue was I could have been finished, but I was like, oh, I can't keep adding more and more and more.
Ooh, but that's a good animal then.
Right?
That's pretty cool.
But I think it's important to remember what's the takeaway from this podcast.
We're not scientists.
We just want to get people excited. We want you to do, I want you to hear about this animal and be like, ooh, I want to look into this more. Ashley said that there was more to read. I want to read it.
Yeah, I think that's a great plan. That's what we're trying to do.
I think.
Just jump right into the outro and let's end this thing.
I'll just tell you the name and that's it. This is the quickest episode yet.
Can you imagine?
It's just the names. They're really cool. And Maggie has a crush on a guy.
doesn't even know I exist.
I'll probably cut this out. But okay, you know the bird guy that I have a crush on? I showed you on Instagram the other week. Yeah. I had a dream, a nightmare that he was married. I woke up and I was like, okay,
you don't need to cut that out because there's a lot of bird guys on Instagram.
This is true. There's something else I was gonna say, but we're past it now. So do you wanna hear about my animal?
I think I would. I do.
I was like, you can leave.
Can you imagine?
Like, all right, do you wanna hear about my animal?
I was just gonna say, let's hear your clue because last episode it was great.
It's not a good one.
Great.
Just because I couldn't think of anything creative, you know?
Okay.
So I'm just going to give you, this one's more of just like a little historical note.
Okay.
And I feel like you'll get it. This is the original sea monster.
Loch Ness Monster?
No, not Nessie.
You're doing the Loch Ness Monster?
We should do an episode where we do
fake
cryptids.
Things. Yeah.
Cryptids for the rest of us.
Sorry.
Fake things. Whatever. This is...
The original sea monster?
Yeah.
The original.
I mean, okay, don't take original too literally. But
Megalodon?
No. It's alive. Today.
The original.
I guess I technically don't know if it was the original. But it was, I have a quote, it was documented in like the 1500s in Denmark.
In Denmark?
No, that means nothing. That doesn't help you. That doesn't help you. That doesn't help you.
Was it a mermaid? No, because you did manatees already.
Did I? I'm not, that's not what I'm doing. It wasn't like a shit.
I'm pretty sure you did manatees because my buddy Nick requested it.
Okay. There's so, well, here's the thing. There's so much, you know, there's so much sea lore, so many sea folk around. So don't take original too literally. But when you think of a sea monster, what are things that are depicted as sea monsters often that are very large?
Oh, is it a sperm whale?
No, but
God, it's, damn it, Ashley.
But it's the sperm whale is its number one predator.
Oh, so you did the giant squid.
Yeah! I'm doing, for those watching, listening, lots of wavy arms. Yes, I am doing the giant squid.
Very cool. Let's hear about that.
So very excited to talk about the giant squid. So the giant squid, or Archaeteuthis dux. The second part is just D-U-X. I broke Maggie. I broke her.
Oh no. Wine went up my nose. I'm dying.
Sorry, this is going to be a short episode because Maggie's dead. Why did ducks get you?
That's the worst feeling I've ever had.
It is. It's not good.
Wine in the back of your throat.
And then just like a little burn. That wine burn.
Okay.
You all right?
Let's hear about the giant squid. Ducks.
A ducks. It's easier because the first part I'm not very good at. So it is either the largest or the second largest invertebrate. The colossal squid is its competition. So most sources say that the colossal squid is larger. But
I've never
also,
even heard of the colossal squid.
It's like the giant squid, but colossal.
Right, we ran out of names.
We ran out of names. We're like, what's another word for big?
We're going to discover another one even bigger and just call it colossalist.
Right, the giant colossal squid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's so much variation in size, and they're so seldom seen, as you'll find out, that okay. It's hard which is which. So just giant squids, colossal squids, they're big. They're big squids. So the giant squid, it's a cephalopod, so it's a squid, like a octopus and cuttlefish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, they got lots of tentacles. But this is a cephalopod that's about the length of a school bus, sometimes longer.
That's a big old squid.
It's a big old squid. So the largest ever measured was 59 feet in length, which is like two school buses, I'm pretty sure.
What?
School by.
Wait. Does this include the tentacles?
Yes.
Okay.
Although
that's disgusting,
it includes their main tentacles because they have feeding tentacles.
Right, they
like,
have the ones
that are twice as long. But like main tentacles, I believe, are included. And oh, and it washed. It weighed nearly a ton, so they're big old squids.
So
they're just big.
That big old squid, almost a ton. You said
the biggest one ever recorded, nearly a ton.
So that was nearly as much as a walrus.
From now on, I'm only measuring things in the size of walruses.
Walruses.
Well, the size?
More, yeah.
So they're big. They're also incredibly elusive. So most of what we know, what?
Don't
are you
just
laughing?
Keep going. Because you keep saying sentences, and then my brain is anticipating the word that you're about to say, and it's completely inaccurate.
Yeah, just write them down. But so, like I said, or tried to say, they're incredibly elusive. So a lot, and by elusive, I mean they live really deep in the ocean, so we don't
see them.
We're
not going down there.
We're not down there. So most of what we know is when dead squid wash up on shore. That's for a really long time. All we knew about them was that there were dead ones, so there's probably live ones in the ocean somewhere. In fact, we didn't get our first photo of a live giant squid until 2004 from researchers in Japan.
Oh,
it was attacking.
Not James Cameron.
No, not James Cameron. It was attacking a bait line at 900 meters or 2,950 feet. Then in 2006, they got one to the surface.
Whoa.
And so there's like a picture of it on the surface. It's a 24-foot female. And we didn't get video footage of them in their habitat, so down in the depths, until 2012.
Wow.
And that was from the Japan's National Science Museum. So very, I did see, there's a picture of like a dead one in a bathtub from like
what?
Early 1900s. So like clearly either one had washed up on shore or some fisherman had found it. And so it's just like a bunch of tentacles and stuff like that.
In a bathtub though, that's a lot smaller than a school bus.
Well, it was overflowing and dead, so it was compact. I don't, it was an old photo. Anyway. I digress. Like I said, they live in deep oceans of temperate and subtropical marine waters. They look like other species of squid, just really big.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you think of squid, they're the ones that are like, they have a more elongated mantle or upper like body, like more ovular.
Oblong.
Oblong. That's a much better word. They've got like the little like flaps on the side, little phalanges, if you will. And then they have 8 arms and 2 long feeding tentacles that are like twice the length of their rest of their tentacles. I lost my place. I wrote this down. I was like, I'm going to go from memory. Large fins attached to their mantle. I said phalanges, whatever. Okay, so the reason why they came up in my mind is because I was reading about eyeballs in my book.
Okay.
So,
and their eyeballs are like massive, right?
They're gigantic. So again, I'm reading An Immense World by Ed Yong, and they have the largest eyes in the animal kingdom. Again, maybe second to the colossal squid, but either way.
I've never heard of the colossal squid. Where do these fuckers live?
I don't know. They're not relevant to this research. So they're the largest eyes, some measuring 10 inches in diameter. They're about the size of a soccer ball. They're big.
Blech.
Big eyeballs. Again, they live deep in the ocean. And so by like, you know, train of thought, when things live deep in the ocean, they need big eyes to take in as much light as possible so that they can see. But they don't need to be so big. Like their eyes are unnecessarily big.
Oh.
For like comparison, so the next biggest eyes I think are like blue whale eyes.
Okay.
But in terms of like more closely related to them, the biggest fish eyes are swordfish eyes.
Really?
Because swordfish live in deep ocean. But a swordfish eye can fit into the pupil of a giant squid eye.
That's pretty gross.
So like that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And they're so big. And remember that if you didn't know, having big eyes or having, you know, a large object. That sounds weird.
Where's this going?
I don't know. Big eyes are energetically costly to have and to make. So, like, why have big eyes if basically once you get to the size of a swordfish eyeball, you don't gain more visual acuity. What are you gaining from just like getting bigger?
What are they gaining, Ashley?
So there's one thing that scientists have figured out is that they're not getting a lot of extra visual power from these big eyes, but those big eyes have one thing going for them. They can spot glowing objects in water deeper than 500 meters. What does that mean? Why does that matter? Why does a giant squid need to see glowing objects? Well, what glows underwater?
The Titan submersible.
We're going to hell. Maybe it did at one point. Doesn't anymore. No. So what glows underwater? Surprisingly enough, sperm whales.
I was going to say that.
Were you?
I was going to say, I bet you their giant eyes have something to do with watching out for sperm whales.
Underwater. So I'm like trying to figure out.
The ocean.
What way do I go about explaining this? Because clearly I didn't do a great job at my notes. So what glows underwater that they could be looking out for? It's sperm whales. And you're probably thinking, well, sperm whales, I don't know a lot about sperm whales, but I'm pretty sure they don't glow, Ashley. And you're right, they don't. But while they're swimming, they're going to bump into things like small jellyfish, crustaceans, and plankton, and they let off bioluminescence. So basically when a sperm whale is swimming, it's creating little clouds of bioluminescence. Mm-hmm. And giant squid, whose number one predator is sperm whales, can see at a distance of 130 yards away.
Wow.
These little clouds of bioluminescence
to know when
a sperm whale is coming. Wow. Which is just like, to evolve something so specific
That's their only predator.
That's it. That's the only thing they have to look out for. So they're like, all right, the eyeballs, that's where we're going to do it. So they're the only one who needs to do this thing, to see this giant predator underwater as a giant predator, and they are the only one that can. I want to read just a little line from my book.
Yeah.
Just because I thought, because, I mean, obviously I'm clearly not a writer, but Ed Yong is, which is great. Giant and colossal squid are unique in being massive animals that need to see massive predators, and their singular need has led to a singular umwelt. With the largest and most sensitive eyes that exist, they scan one of the darkest environments on Earth for the faint, sparkling outlines of charging whales.
Ah!
Isn't this so cool?
That is just, like, at that point, what do they fucking do?
Right?
Oh, God! One is coming. It's 130 meters away.
But so insane.
Like, and, like, a sperm whale is huge, so it's not going to take it long to get there. They're pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, and that's when, I mean, sperm whales have fucking scars all over themselves because of these guys.
Yeah.
Now we need to know what sperm whales have evolved to do to be able to combat that.
That's a great question. Because most giant things under the water are not seeing things. They're communicating via sonar. They're
Well, they do have a big old
Big old
noggin.
That's
what they're doing.
Yeah. They're not seeing things in the water. They're using sonar, whereas squids are. So, like I mentioned, sperm whales are their number one predator, and very few, like, even you think of, like, big whales in the ocean, I guess the biggest one would be an orca, but, like,
the sperm whale.
Well, sperm whale, yeah. Other than that, other than the sperm whale, is an orca, because, like, big whales, like, blue whale are eating, like, krill, plankton, small things, whereas a big thing eating another big thing that's probably sometimes the same size, like, or similar, is just, like, so unique. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen often. But the reason we know that sperm whales are eating giant squid is because giant squid beaks have been found inside sperm whale stomachs. So the beak is part of octopus and squid and cephalopods have, like, basically, it literally looks like a bird beak. Mm-hmm. That they have it, like, their center part. I don't know why I said it like that. And then a lot of sperm whales have been found with the sucker markings on their heads, which means there's been, like, these big battles.
Battle royale.
You know, sperm whale versus giant squid.
Think for a second. There's a sperm whale and a giant squid fighting right now somewhere in the world.
Somewhere.
One of them is going to not be happy at the end of this.
We got to get that on video. That's what we need next. Oh, God. But so then what is a giant squid eating? Not sperm whales. Their diet consists mainly of deep water fish, shrimp, and other squid. There is some signs that they are cannibalistic. I was like, what's the word for eating your own species?
Ooh, gross.
So there's a chance that they eat other giant squid. Like I mentioned, they have two long feeding tentacles that are twice their body length. They kind of shoot them out like nets to grab what they want, and then they reel them back in. Once they're stuck to their suckers, chomp them up with their beak into smaller parts, and then they have a radula, which is basically a scrapy tongue. A lot of, like, sea slugs and... I know sea slugs have
sea
them.
Slugs.
Sea slugs and other sea slugs have them that break them into smaller pieces to eat.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I mentioned in the beginning, they're kind of the original sea monsters.
Okay.
So throughout history, they've been depicted as sea monsters in literature for more than 2,000 plus years. Often you'll see images of them, not currently, but like in the olden days. Often you'll see images of them capsizing boats. Like there's a good amount of, like, illustrations. There's an illustration in, yeah, not photos. Because, surprise, it doesn't happen. They don't do this. But there's, like, a big illustration in some copies of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea of a giant squid going after a boat. That doesn't happen. There's no record of giant squids attacking boats. People once thought they were sea monks or mermen back in, again, this quote from the Smithsonian. I'll just read it. The first known record of Archithaeus, the giant squid, comes from Denmark in the 1500s, when several curious fish, quote, were found afloat by the sea. Historians at the time did not associate these fish with cephalopods. Instead, they conflated their looks with those of humans, describing these creatures as having a head like a man and a dress of a scarlet, like a monk's cloak, and calling them sea monks. So some thought they were monsters and some thought they were religious practitioners.
So So this was a dead giant squid just floating at the top?
That washed up on land.
Okay.
You know? And people were like, oh, must be a sea monk. Throughout history, people just, when they wash up, I mean, could you imagine though, a giant squid washes up and you don't know, have like concepts of like what an octopus is. Like, you don't know.
I mean, you would think it's an alien.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd think it was a sea monk or a merman. I don't know that they're, I don't find them particularly human-like. I don't know. I guess these people had low standards of humans.
This was before healthcare.
But yeah, this is when I like started going into it, and I was like, there's just so many like weird recordings of like the first specimens and like.
So I want to know, you mentioned the 1500s, Denmark. It washed up ashore. They're not washing up ashore that often now. Is that because there were just more things in the ocean and we've like, you know, depleted our oceans?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
It could also be like, I mean, maybe things probably wash up. There's probably ones that wash up now, but it's not nearly as exciting because now we know what it is. Like,
sure.
You know, whales wash up on shore.
Yeah.
You know, relatively frequently. We right. don't, unless it's like a mass beaching or like, right. or like, you know, something like that. I think because we now know what it is, it's not something that's talked about as much.
Okay.
I don't know the rate at which that's they're fair. Washing no. up on shore, but that's just my guess. But unsurprisingly, we don't know a lot about their population because you don't really see them unless they're dead or you have a really expensive camera to go underwater and research them.
Unless you're James Cameron or unless, the Japanese.
No, or the Japanese. I think there's also a good New Zealand research team as well. So
there's a good one in New Zealand?
There's a good one in New Zealand. And I should say like an active one.
Okay.
But yeah, probably it's probably pretty good too. But that's the giant squid for you.
Wow, what a cool one.
Get me talking about eyeballs these days and I'm like, I have something to tell you.
The eyeballs. That is so cool to think, like just to put yourself in the frame of mind of like, I am a giant squid and I'm seeing like a little bit of a
little like
burst
puffs of glowy water.
Glowy water. And I'm like, oh my God. The only thing that could be doing that is a fucking sperm whale.
A charging whale. Horrifying.
Horrifying. Yeah.
But so cool. But yeah.
Wow.
Dash dish.
What
good
a good one. I love it.
I was so excited
Thank
for this
you.
One.
Thank you. Oh. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So I didn't do this on purpose, but last episode I gave you like, this is an amphibian who's out of this world.
Yeah.
Well, it's a similar style type clue. I didn't do that on purpose, but that's just the best way to give it. So, we love when animals are named for animals that they are not, right? Yeah. Like the mantis shrimp, mountain goat, the king cobra. Mm-hmm. He's not a king.
He's not. Royalty. So, they don't know it.
This bird of Asia is named for a mammal in Africa.
What? Lion, cheetah, leopard?
Not a cat.
Wait, what did you say? Did you say animal?
I said this bird of Asia is named for a mammal in Africa.
I don't know why I went with cat. I guess, I feel like that would make this rhinoceros.
Nope.
I feel the same way Argos. Elephant.
Mm-mm. We did
hippopotamus. We did see a hippopotamus.
We did. But no, just keep going through the famous animals in Africa.
Big Five?
No, I just said famous. I would have said Big Five if I wanted you to guess Big Five.
I already guessed most of the Big Five.
But it's a famous animal in Africa.
Cheetah.
You already guessed that?
A mammal that's famous. That's not part of the Big Five. Hyena.
No, but I appreciate that you're now out of that box.
I'm trying here. We're back to where we were. We were too good guessing for far too long.
I know.
Now we're bad again.
Like
African wild dog. The African wild dog shrimp.
Parakeet. No, it's a bird. So I feel like you would get this. So, what famous animal in Africa isn't a hippo or a giraffe or an elephant or a rhino.
I didn't even guess giraffe. Giraffe?
No, that's why I just crossed that one off for you. Thank you.
Zebra finch.
Yes.
Wow, why the fuck did I not get that sooner? I'm mad at myself.
I'm doing the zebra finch.
This is very exciting. I know that this is a bird that exists.
I know
this
you
isn't
do.
Like the back of my mind. Know. That was really... They have them at pet stores.
I know.
I'm just saying, I've seen them throughout my life.
God.
But not in the wild. So tell me more.
So I am doing the zebra finch, also known as
the cheetah finch.
The cheetah giraffe. Well, African wild dog finch.
Hippo finch.
Its Latin name is Taeniobigia guttata.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we used to think that there was only one species of zebra finch. There are actually two. We're going to be talking about the Sunda zebra finch, which is found in Indonesia. The other one is found in Australia.
Mm. You just say Oz.
My brain didn't know what it wanted to say, so both came out.
I like it. Is that their only difference, is location?
Yes. Yes. Fun science for you.
Yeah.
So these two places are like relatively close together. So why aren't they the same species? Why did they evolve separately? So during the Pleistocene era,
favorite one,
there was a glaciation event that allowed the two continents, Australia and Asia, in this case, Indonesia, they were much closer together because there was less ocean water separating them.
Okay.
So, like, the water sea level was, like, 100 meters lower than it was. So, it is likely that a finch could either fly from one continent to the other.
Yeah.
Or, if a finch was out exploring a little bit and, like, a high wind event came ripping through, it just pushed it off course.
Oh, baby.
Which still happens today. Yeah. Birds will be flying up the coast and then a hurricane will rip through and they're like, whoa, what's all this blue stuff? I got nowhere to land.
It's damp over here.
Yeah. So that is possibly what happened. And the two just ended up evolving differently. They are two separate species. The one in Indonesia is slightly smaller, I believe. So they can live up to 5 to 9 years in the wild in captivity. You said that you see them in pet stores. They can live up to like 14 years. They eat seeds, whatever, all the boring stuff. They're very, nobody cares.
Wow.
They're very social and they live in giant colonies.
Ooh.
And this is where it gets exciting. They are loud.
I love drama.
They are loud and boisterous singers. Their calls can include a beep. You're not going to imitate them, okay.
Well, because I'm not good at it. You are, but I'll try.
Just a beep.
Beep.
A meep.
Meep.
An oi.
Oi.
Or aha.
Ha.
Aha.
Aha.
There you go.
I thought you were saying aha.
No, no. An aha.
Like a singular ha.
No, an aha.
Aha. Gotcha. Yeah. I don't think any of those were bird-like at all. And if a bird made those sounds near me, I would run.
You imagine
beep,
a bird.
Beep, aha, aha.
Bird sitting on your shoulder and being like, aha.
No.
All right. So in addition to those noises,
they
can learn new vocalizations.
Ooh.
They can teach themselves new sounds.
Nice.
Very cool. But here's where being social, living in big colonies, and being vocal all come together.
This feels very Real Housewives to me.
It is. The drama has just begun.
So, where are they? They're in Asia?
Indonesia.
Real Housewives of Real Finches of Indonesia. I'd watch that in a second.
Oh my God, you know who else would? Chris Jameson.
Chris, come on.
Friend of the pod. So, being in a big colony, some of these finches are like, well, you know what? There's a lot of eligible nannies and nursemaids out here.
Yeah.
Why don't they raise my chicks? So females will try to lay their eggs in someone else's nest so they don't have to bother raising the chick.
Ooh, a little brood parasitism, but within their own species? Within their neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that?
Sometimes it doesn't work out because sometimes when a female will lay her egg in someone else's nest, the owner of the nest knows that there is an imposter because she can smell the difference between eggs.
Oh.
Yeah. Crazy. And then she will abandon the entire clutch.
I gotta say it's crazy because I find brood parasitism, which is when you lay an egg. Usually it's in a different species nest. Like brown-headed cowbirds do this. But the eggs look like remarkably different. Mm-hmm. And the bird, the like host bird, I guess, that doesn't realize it is like, nah, and then they end up growing, like raising a baby that's like 3 times their size.
Yeah.
And they don't notice. These birds are like, smells weird.
Yeah. Yeah. They're paying attention is what we're getting out of
this. Dang.
However, if they are fooled, even if they're not, parent zebra chicks will communicate to the chicks.
You said parent zebra chicks, which is a contradiction.
I don't know what I'm saying. Parent zebra finches will communicate to the chicks that are in the egg. They will.
There's like knocking on the door?
About what? The weather, apparently.
What?
Uh-huh. Yep. Being in the tropics where it can get super hot, throwback, above 35 degrees Celsius. Celsius.
Which is, in fact, very hot.
It's not just above freezing. Parents will chirp out a heat call. And the chicks in the eggs will adjust their development accordingly. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. AKA, they will make themselves slow down in development so that they don't keep growing bigger, so that they stay small and just hurry up and finish developing, and they hatch as a smaller bird. Why, you may ask? Because in heat, being smaller means less body to cool down, less to give water to, or to not to feed, less body that requires water. What am I trying to say?
You need less resources.
Yes. So if a chick in the egg hears this call and then makes themselves smaller to hatch, they are more likely to produce successful offspring in their first brood when they have reached maturity. Yeah. And then they are more likely to pass on these vocalizations, these heat calls, if necessary, to their own young.
What the hell?
Basically, they're talking to a thing in an egg saying, hey, it's really hot out here. It's heat intensive. You need to adjust what you're doing inside that egg to be successful once you come out.
I can even adjust my own body heat. These embryonic chicks are like, cool, yeah, I'll get cooler. I can't even figure out what I want to wear outside when it's a little bit hot.
Listen, I know we got a lot of parents out there where, like, you're talking to your baby in your womb and you're like, oh, they can hear me. Sure, they can, but are they actually listening to what you're asking them to do?
Are you a zebra finch? No, so shut up.
No.
Just kidding.
Crazy.
That's insanity. How do you discover that? What were researchers doing, like listening into the eggs? What?
So it's all of these different vocalizations that they test, and on like really hot days the temperature is logged and the zebra finches would make this particular call, this heat call.
Yeah.
Just over the nest, just to the egg. They wouldn't do it when they departed with their mate, whom you're about to hear. They mate for life, so they're always hanging out.
Aww.
So
good
it was
for them.
Only, I know, would be nice to be a zebra finch. So they wouldn't make these calls anywhere but just over the nest. And it was always on a day that was hotter than like 35 degrees Celsius.
Dang.
And then those chicks, once hatched, were always smaller than the nests that weren't making those calls. So even though zebra finches will pawn off their chicks to other parents, like I said, they do mate for life. Man, my notes here, I was feeling sassy. I said, sounds like a rich people parent problem. Wow.
They got their ninny.
Might need to cut that out. When they don't pawn off their eggs, they are very dutiful parents who take turns building a nest, incubating, and feeding the young. The parents, this is very cool with vocalizations again, the parents will even negotiate parental care duties. So it's not like, I mean, we've talked about bird species before and they talk to each other and they know who, like, hey, I'm looking for my husband. Hey, I'm looking for my mate, whatever. they actually like will tell each other, you need to do more of this, or yeah. I would like to do less of this. In an experiment.
Good communicators. What the? I feel like a lot of human couples aren't that good.
They're not. Some human parents don't know how to negotiate duties. It was found that the resulting duets between couples were shorter and calls were made more often. It was as if the female was saying, like, you're back. Oh my gosh, you're hurry. I gotta pee. I gotta get off this nest. Hurry. And then she would immediately leave the nest. And then when she came back and it was her time to sit on the nest again, her time would be shorter to accommodate for the fact that she had to sit on the nest longer when the male was gone for longer. So it was like, I put in all these hours, I get a break. So it's insane.
Oh, so cool.
That like, and it's only fair. Like, the male isn't complaining. He's not going to leave the nest. It's very cool. This is the first species that vocal negotiation over parental care has been discovered.
We got to keep searching, people. That's so cool.
It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist elsewhere, but yeah, like, this is the first time it's been documented, which is insane.
Glad humans aren't included in that.
Because we're not good communicators.
Be more like a zebra finch, ladies and gentlemen.
So zebra finch, as you mentioned, are also in the pet trade. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their biggest threat aside from deforestation, because they can actually live in arid climates where there are not like heavily forested rainforest areas. So their habitats are not terribly in threat more than other species, but because they're really pretty birds, they don't even have like that many stripes. I don't think I described what they look
you
like.
You didn't. I was gonna say, are they like blue and yellow?
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Am I right though?
I'm so sorry. They are a pale bluish gray with a bright orange beak, orange cheeks, and then a breast that is brown with white spots.
Gotcha.
No stripes.
No.
They do have stripes on their tail, kind of, I guess.
Like banded.
Banded, not really stripes.
Blanded.
They're bland. No, they're bland, really pretty birds, so they're in the pet trade, whatever.
Yeah.
In terms of their actual conservation status, I didn't look that up. In terms of conservation status, they are least concerned. Like I said, their habitats are not terribly in threat. I'm acting as if I didn't just look this up, and this is our second take.
The first take she was wrong. Like I said, no, like you said the first time, you said they were threatened, which was wrong.
So that, you have it, the zebra finch.
So cool. Yeah. Now, of course, I gotta ask, what was the inspiration behind this animal?
So you're reading An Immense World. Mm-hmm. I have just been panning through a modern bestiary book for species that we have not already covered, which is just really funny because you and I both bought that book before actually scanning through the pages, and we've already done most of the animals in that book. So
let me get a little refresher.
Yeah.
Also a very pretty book, so.
It is, and that's why. Because I was like, oh, this is a cool one. Like, nice. Talking to its chicks in the egg and actually influencing the outcome. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice!
So that is the zebra finch. That's my animal this week that I actually researched ahead of time for the most part.
Look at her go.
I know. Look at me. I'm almost a new person.
We've got tiny birds, giant cephalopods. We've got it all, folks. Tell your friends. Tell your family.
That's a perfect segue because you should be following us on all platforms.
You're just going to go for it or are you going to look it up?
I'm just going to go for it.
All right.
If you are listening to our podcast right now, you should subscribe and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts just like you, which is what we're here for. We're here for you. If you would like to follow us on the social meds.
The social meds?
Yeah, I tried something new.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
If you would like to, you could also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod. We're on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod. We also have a website that is infrequently updated, and that is thewateringholepod.com.
So Instagram's your best choice.
Instagram is your best option. But I would also just remind you, because I didn't already, we're not scientists. Yes. So don't quote us on anything.
That's pretty obvious.
especially when I say something is least concerned or threatened. Double check me
on
that.
Who knows?
We don't actually know. So tune in next time Did I cover everything?
Yeah, you got it all.
Great. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, the threats they face, their biology and habitat, and what people are doing about it. I'm usually much better at memory. It's all the Sudafed.
It's the Sudafed.
But that's it.